You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. So you're probably going to hear this term, which is such an exaggeration. They're going to debate, J.D. Vance and Tim Walz are going to debate on October 1st. That's going to be a good one. J.D. Vance is going to wish that he didn't, but that's fine. The contrast will be good, and it'll be very entertaining. Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, retired from the Army National Guard with a rank of Master Sergeant, making him the highest ranking. He also was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, representing, I believe, the 6th District in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. I could be, but I think it's the 6th. And when he served in the U.S. House of Representatives in Minnesota, representing the 6th District in Minnesota, he was the highest ranked military official to have ever served in Congress. His rank was Master Sergeant. Where the Republicans are trying to criticize Governor Walz and calling it stolen valor, I got to be abundantly clear about this. Donald Trump, who said he had bone spurs and couldn't fight in the Vietnam War. Had Trump got sent to Vietnam, he would not be running for president right now. Let's just put it that way. I don't understand why they're shooting at me. They're very small Asians. They're shooting. They're in the jungle. It's very hot. I'm walking a lot. It's very warm. I don't like it. I think I'm just going to lay down here. And Trump, I don't know, wouldn't have been good for him because Vietnam is rough. You ever talk to a Vietnam War veteran, one that's actually willing to tell you about how it was? Woo! You didn't want to go over there, buddy. That's not where you wanted to be in the 60s or 70s. So they're going to say, well, Tim Walz, he didn't go to Iraq. His unit was about to be deployed, and he retired before he could be deployed to Iraq. So I just got to clear this up because you guys are going to hear all sorts of mess, and no one's going to explain it to you. After 20 years of military service, you are eligible to retire. Okay? When you reach the rank of Command Sergeant Major, Master Sergeant, let me tell you what those positions are. So you train other high-ranking military officials. Those are honor positions. Those guys don't go to war. They don't. Master Sergeants and Command Sergeant Majors, they don't go to war. They do not. Those are honor positions. If anything, they sit in a control room watching a bunch of screens. And he served 4 years past where he could have retired. Now, let me put yourselves in a realistic situation. Close your eyes, if you will. Imagine you're a police officer or you have some other very dangerous position. And you have stayed at this job longer and you've done all the stuff. You've done all the things. You've seen all the things. You've gone out on difficult investigations, you've been shot at, you've even done some shooting yourself, and you have 20 years of service and maybe as being a police officer or something, right? You can retire, and then there's a call, 17 armed subject shooting in a shopping mall. You're like, I'm not going, I'm about to retire. You don't want to get shot when you should be retired. And so that's insane, but that's also showing how civilians don't really know how the military works. And this next person that's calling, they better be somebody who's a military veteran, because if they some political hack, they're going to get their feelings hurt. Because even Trump supporters are concerned because they can't stop the momentum of a Democratic ticket that is more than just people not wanting to vote for Trump. They actually have something to legitimately vote for. Let's talk to. All right, Rob, tell us your rank, Sherwin, and what branch.
Sherwin.
Tell us your rank and what branch.
Enjoying it. Enjoying the show and okay. Topic as always.
Uh-huh.
I never served in the military.
Of course.
All three of my sons are Marines.
Okay.
All three of them. You ride with your boys. You don't retire before active duty sets in. No, any soldier will tell you they're going down. They're going to fight with their regiment. They're going to fight
no,
with
their
platoon, whatever
no, they're not.
Group.
That
yes,
as an honor. Yes. No, we got to keep in mind. So maybe if you're enlisted, yes. And if you can retire as an enlisted person, then maybe say, oh, I don't want to leave my boys. But if you have, these are honor positions. These are not people that go into war. They'll like create strategy in the Pentagon. Like these master sergeants and sergeant majors, they don't go into fields of battle. They might, even if they do go, let's say he went to Iraq, he would be like in a bunker somewhere. He wouldn't be out there grunting and walking through the damn desert. Like, that's what we don't understand about the military. High-ranking officials don't go out there and get shot at. They create strategy.
Create strategy, but you're there. There could be situations where even in that bunker, you have to fight. There could be a situation where you have to bear arms. You have to go. It sends a bad
not
message to
your
rank. People.
There are sergeants, there's lieutenants, there's captains that are much more likely to be involved in combat and active duty. But once you rise to the absolute top ranking official in your branch, you don't go to war anymore. You don't. And here's the other thing about J.D. Vance. Let me say this. Here's something that he is forgetting about being a Marine. Marines show respect. Marines are never the branch that speaks ill of another branch of the military because Marines are solid. They are confident. Marines are born.
Yes,
they are
sir.
Not made. But what they don't do and what J.D. Vance is doing is respecting another branch of the military because you have never in your life heard an actual real Marine say anything negative about those other branches of the military. And that's why J.D. Vance is discredited. But they also know that they're losing to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. So they got to try and pick anything they can they think may stick. But they're wrong in this one, too.
Can we agree upon this?
Probably not, but what is
can we agree upon this? He lied about his active duty. He lied about that. And he tucked his tail. He would be way far more popular if he had actually served. If they found out he could have retired, but he chose to deploy. And that's it. I'm going to end the call. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to listen to your response.
All right. So let me explain this to a lot of folks. And I'm not going to do it in a condescending way. It's just we hear something coming from really either of the campaigns that we run with it. Okay. Now, I'm not diminishing any branch of the military because I wasn't in the military. And hell, I never even considered it. I had a whole bunch of other options. One of them was just being unemployed. I wasn't going into the military. So you guys know I love the veterans and the troops, support the troops and the veterans and give them all the stuff that they need, all the monies and all the housing and all the health care. Give it to them. Good. Shouldn't be a single homeless veteran anywhere on the planet. Tim Walz was a member of the damn National Guard. The National Guard does not get deployed to foreign wars. Let me be abundantly clear because some of y'all ain't hearing me today. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but y'all going to have to sing now. The only reason why the National Guard was ever even considered for deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan is because George Bush and Dick Cheney needed bodies. The National Guard, why are they called the National Guard? Because they guard us here at home. The National Guard is not supposed to go to a damn foreign war. George Bush had to sign an executive order to allow the National Guard to leave their posts here in America, protecting us, to go serve in Iraq and Afghanistan to prevent enlisting the draft. That was the choices. We need troops because nobody was signing up for the military, and we needed troops to go over to Iraq and Afghanistan, and we didn't have any. Those wars were so unpopular that after September 11th, there was a surge in people wanting to sign up for the military. But then when we saw what those wars were about, people were like, I ain't signing up for the military. I ain't going over there. So they needed additional troops. The National Guard, you don't sign up for the National Guard to go fight in a foreign war. Like, that's what y'all need to understand about the different branches of the military. The Navy, yes, they go over. They got boats. They got ships. And, the Navy and the Marines ride together. So the Navy is like the Uber for the Marines. The Navy's like, hey, we're going over to the Middle East. You dudes want to get on the ship? And the Marines are like, because they grunt and they bark because Marines are like the cue dogs of the military. They bark and kill people. That's what Marines do. They do a lot of killing. So the Navy, yes. Navy got boats and planes. And the Marines ride with the Navy. Then you got the Army. The Army, the Marines go first. And then the Army, and I'm not being disrespectful to any branches of the military. The Army's like, hey, is it clear? And the Marines are like, yeah, come on over, Army. And then the Army goes in and does Army stuff. And then you got the Air Force that fly the planes. They fly, they drop the bombs. And then they get in the plane, and the planes are very fast. Pew! They sound like that. And the Air Force is like, hey, where you want us to drop these bombs? And then somebody in the command center says, hey, drop them over here. We'll send the coordinates to your plane. And then they push the button and they drop the bomb. And then they land on the aircraft carrier. That's how that goes. The National Guard is our protection here at home. You know what the National Guard does? Protects against like civil unrest. And like if there's a flood, they come help clean up communities. That's the National Guard. So when they're saying, oh, Tim Walz didn't go over and get deployed. Nobody in the National Guard was supposed to. And Tim was thinking, I did 24 years. I could have retired after 20. Now you want to send me to war? No, thank you. Have fun. We were never supposed to go into a theater of war anyway. Do we have an understanding now? That's not stolen valor. Look, let me give another example to make it clear. Some of y'all are at work right now. You do your job. You were hired to do your job. Okay? You're doing your job as best you can. Sometimes your boss or your manager says, hey, can you come over to this department and do something that you don't know how to do, that you were never hired for, or was never talked about in the interview, or was never in your job description? Hey, can you go do that? You be like, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm a talk show host. I host a talk show. It's called The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. It's on Spotify and iTunes. You can find it all over the place. Podcasts, YouTube, all the things, okay? If they said, hey, Sherwin, can you go make pizza at the pizza shuttle in the 3rd Street Market Hall? I didn't get hired to make pizza at the pizza shuttle. I'll talk on a microphone. I'm a talk show host. Tim Walz and other members of the National Guard, especially if they were upped for retirement and they were, hey, do you guys want to go over to Iraq and get shot at by people? They're like, hell no, we don't want to get shot at. That's not what we signed up for. Okay, so now we have an understanding. The National Guard is not supposed to go into a damn theater of war. The only reason why the National Guard was ever deployed and why we deploy them is because it's not that they're against the draft. It's just American, like, 18 and 19-year-olds are so fat, lazy, and out of shape that anybody we drafted would get shot immediately. And they're disobedient. They're insubordinate. We can't take this generation? Gen Z? Gen Z would be terrible in wars. Some of the Gen Z people would go over and dress in drag, which is fine, but it's just, it looks, our enemy wouldn't take us seriously if we have a bunch of Gen Z boys wearing blue wigs. It's not, the National Guard doesn't, they're the National Guard, y'all. They stay here. Like the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard, I think they even deployed some Coast Guard people. The Coast Guard is supposed to, like, stop dope from coming into the port of Miami. You don't deploy the damn Coast Guard to go fight in Kosovo or wherever we send people. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'm over here talking about 18 different things at once. MPS and the recall and Cavalier Johnson maybe getting appointed somewhere in the Harris-Walz administration, and then Jose Perez becomes the mayor. We have zero candidates ready to run for mayor. Well, I have one in mind. One person I think could run. They're ready. It's only one person. And you won't have a whole bunch of other choices. So if you don't like that person that would run for mayor when we have a special election, when Cavalier Johnson, I told y'all don't tell the mayor I said this because he's going to deny it. But I think he's going to get appointed. Jose Perez becomes mayor. The Common Council will decide on a special election date, and then candidates will run. A bunch of people will run for mayor that will never win, like David King. David King runs for everything. David King is like, an example would be always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to marry him to get him elected. You know, he just runs. Poor fella. David King. Shout out to David King. I'm going to take a break, come back. Can he continue talking about, I don't know, 35 different things? The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. Maglack, messed up the game, messed it up for the real players, baby, tonight. Maglack, messed up the game, messed it up for the real players, baby, tonight. All right. So, LT proves he knows how to Google. Says, Ray Thomas says, J.D. Vance was only a corporal. He couldn't even make sergeant. He is in no position to say anything about any soldier. And LT's Google finger says, yes, members of the National Guard can be deployed to war. The National Guard is unique among the U.S. Armed Forces because it can perform both state and federal functions. Guard members are combat trained and can be deployed overseas to protect and defend America in battle. And this is the key part that I want you to critically think about, LT. Since the September 11th attacks, more than 1.1 million National Guard members have been deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, and other locations. The president can also deploy the National Guard to serve missions in Poland and the Horn of Africa, mostly in an air fueling capacity, not combat. Bush did that because we needed troops for the war on terror, and there weren't enough military personnel to send the necessary bodies. So what Bush did with this executive order is he said, oh, the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001 constituted a national emergency. Agreed. But the national emergency was here on the homeland, on American soil. It doesn't mean you deploy them to Iraq, because that leaves us vulnerable here in America. And remember, back then, there was no Department of Homeland Security. So the National Guard is all we had. And like local cops, a president could then sign, how about this, sign an executive order where local law enforcement, municipal cops and sheriffs can be deployed to war. Because that's basically the same thing. The National Guard is like America's homeland police. They don't go to war. They didn't sign up for that mess. Are they combat trained? Yes. Because sometimes they have to be combat ready because of things that they will deal with here in the United States. And we've seen it with civil unrest. The National Guard gets called. We had the damn National Guard here. They had one of their staging grounds over by Mayfair Mall during George Floyd protests. But that's what they're here for. They didn't sign up, because if they wanted to like go shoot at people, then they would have signed up for the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines. Nobody wants to go to war. That's the other thing. If I signed up for the military, which I clearly did not, two things I didn't do. Didn't pledge a fraternity. Didn't sign up for the military. Don't get mad at me. I make my own choices in life. You guys make your own choices. This wasn't for me. I wasn't going to the military. And back in my day, they actually had military recruiters in our schools. They're banned now. They're banned from most college campuses, too. You guys remember that? If you grew up in the, well, if you're Generation X, we had military recruiters. We go in, we had lunch in the lunchroom, and then right in the hallway as we walk into lunch, it would be somebody that we went to high school with too, that went off to the military, and they come back with their uniform on and they're standing in front of that table and they got all these brochures. I mean, they got a couple of people. You guys remember how military officials, military recruiters would be real aggressive? If they ever got your phone number, they just were relentless in trying to get you to sign up for the military. That's just not. It's just not for me. I wouldn't be a good soldier. It's just too, it's too hard. You know what I'm saying? People shooting at you. Because here's the thing. The people in the last, what wars have we been in? Well, we got American troops in the Middle East now. That's always a really bad idea. That never ends well. So Afghanistan and Iraq. Other than the fact that they don't like Americans, I mean, I don't have nothing personal against them people. A lot of people don't like Americans. Americans don't like Americans. Americans shoot at Americans too. And we ain't going to war with one another, at least not yet. Just saying, if you send me over to a theater of war, hey, Sherwin, shoot these people because, I don't know, they don't like us, and maybe they'll come to America and shoot at Americans. Nobody comes here. Nobody invades America.
It's very hard to invade us. We're actually a very fortunate country. Got Canada to our north, got Mexico to the south, and you got oceans on the east and the west coast. We're hard to invade unless they come through Canada or Mexico, which is not going to happen. Nobody invades us. So don't send me over to another country like, hey, shoot these poor people. No, thank you. I'd rather not. All right, let's talk to Prince. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Sherwin. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind?
Oh, you know me. Short, quick comments. I had to walk away from the radio a couple of times because I'm kind of busy at work. Regarding the gentleman who's running for vice president, did anybody happen to mention that he ran for Congress? That's why he resigned from the military.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That's what he's been. Yeah, that's what he's been saying on the radio. I guess some of his students, because he was a teacher, encouraged him to run for Congress.
That I did know, but I didn't know the timing of it, that he retired from the National Guard to run for Congress. That makes sense. And now the Republicans are trying to say, oh, no, he retired so he didn't have to go to war. No, he had a campaign to run.
That's correct.
Thank you, Prince. I appreciate
okay.
the clarity.
That's all I wanted. All right. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye.
All right. Well, there you go. He ran for Congress. Now, they also could say it was convenient for him to run for Congress when he did, because he didn't want to get shot at. How many of y'all would want to get shot at? None of you. I don't know if you know this. I hope I never find out. Bullets hurt. First, it's like a sting, then it burns, then it goes numb, and then sometimes you go to sleep. So Kyle said, not if you're Trump. They're saying it's not even a scar on that man's ear. I don't like the conspiracy theories. I do believe that somebody legitimately tried to shoot Donald Trump in his head. I think that happened. I believe that. I don't think that there was any kind of, because if there was a plot to kill the president, they work. Lee Harvey Oswald, that was the common. There's a whole bunch of people that wanted Kennedy dead. A whole, like, different groups of people that wouldn't necessarily get along with each other that wanted Kennedy dead. Fidel Castro wanted Kennedy dead. Southern segregationists wanted Kennedy dead. Russia, Nikita Khrushchev, the premier of Russia at the time, wanted Kennedy dead. But you know who really, really wanted JFK dead? More than everybody else. More than the communists in Cuba and the communists in Russia. You know who really wanted him dead? Even more than the Southern segregationists, because Kennedy actually started the work of what Lyndon Johnson signed into law, civil rights legislation, open housing legislation. Like, that was Kennedy. He just didn't get to finish it because he got shot in his head. But you know who really, really, really wanted Kennedy dead? And this is who I think is responsible for killing him. I can say this now because, I don't know, 20 years ago, they might have assassinated me for saying this. But no, I think this is who really wanted Kennedy dead. And they got a patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald, who actually spent some time in Russia, if you guys know the history of the Kennedy assassination. That was a conspiracy theory that's a legitimate one. All the other ones, like the vaccine stuff, nobody is microchipping you. Nobody cares enough about most of you to microchip. For what? So they can see you going to Panera Bread and going to the casino and gambling away all your damn money? Like, nobody cares. Nobody is microchipping you. I want to follow you and you go to your job as a janitor. Oh, let's microchip them and see what they're up to. Nobody care about you like that. We're that arrogant in America. Like, people that literally have nothing think the government wants to watch you. They already know who the hell you are. You got a social security number and an address and a cell phone. I don't need a microchip you. That's just a waste of time. The mafia wanted Kennedy dead. There was an agreement. Kennedy barely won that election. He won by the equivalent of one vote in every voting ward in America, by a single vote. It was a very, very close election in 1960. He barely beat Richard Nixon. So Daddy Kennedy, Joe Kennedy, made a deal with Sam Giancana and the Chicago Mob outfit that they wanted to have enough influence over voters and the poll and the Teamsters, because, you know, the Mob and the Teamsters, if the Mob needed money, they would get money from the pension fund of the Teamsters. The whole Jimmy Hoffa thing, fascinating American history. That needs to be taught in schools, too. So they made a deal. They said, hey, we need the Teamsters and all the organized labor unions to get out and vote for Kennedy. So Sam Giancana, the Mob boss at the time, made sure that all of the unions got out, knocked on doors, talked to everybody. Hey, we got to get Kennedy in there because he's going to let us do our business as organized crime. He's going to leave us alone. Kennedy needs to win because then the Mob will be able to operate above the law and away from scrutiny. Okay. So the Teamsters got out there and they knocked on doors and they volunteered. They campaigned real hard. And Illinois was delivered for Kennedy. You know, the biggest strike against JFK when he was running for president, it's insane now. But the biggest strike against him is that people didn't like the fact that he was a Catholic because they thought he was going to get his political, like, policy directives from the Pope. Like, that was a fear in America at one point in time. Like, oh, we don't want to elect a Catholic because then the Pope is going to guide their decisions. Now, there's almost an adherence, especially by the right, of wanting more religious affiliation in our policies. But in 1960, it was a big deal. We don't want a damn Catholic running the country. Right. So Kennedy gets elected. He wins Illinois, gets enough electoral votes to beat Richard Nixon. First thing Kennedy does is hires his brother, Robert Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. In fact, Robert Kennedy, who got assassinated too. Surprise, surprise. Who was the father of Robert Kennedy Jr., who is running for president right now as a third party candidate. Also, I just got some breaking news that Robert Kennedy just reached out to Kamala Harris and asked for a position in her administration in exchange for his endorsement because he knows he can't win. More on that later. Kennedy gets elected with help from the mafia in Illinois and in Chicago. They delivered Illinois. That was enough electoral votes for Kennedy to get elected. Sam Giancana and the Chicago Mob outfit was told that if Kennedy gets elected, he will leave them alone. And also, Kennedy would owe the Mob a favor because they helped JFK get elected. First thing JFK does, he appoints his brother, Bobby Kennedy, to be the attorney general. Bobby Kennedy hates the Mob. And actually, the first press conference, one of the first press conferences that Bobby Kennedy gave, we're going to go after organized crime in this country very strongly. They are tearing up the fabric of this nation. So the Mob was like, I beg your pardon. We helped get your brother elected. We helped get John elected. John appoints Bobby, which is weird. You shouldn't be appointing your brother to stuff, but whatever. And then Bobby says, I'm going to go after the Mob. And so obviously organized crime was very afraid and they didn't like that Kennedy went back on his word. Like, we help you get elected, John. And, you know, John, he was a playboy. He was having sex with Marilyn Monroe and kicking it with Frank Sinatra and they were having a good time. John, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Bobby's just a bit of a hothead. Just leave him alone. Nothing's going to happen. Well, they killed him. They killed them both. So there you go. LT, you are correct. It is the mafia that wanted. Of all those other entities that wanted John Kennedy dead, the mafia are probably the most feared. And they got Lee Harvey Oswald to shoot him. They did a reenactment of that shot. Very difficult to make that shot from the book suppository. He had a bolt-action rifle and got two shots off in a very short period of time. They're both headshots, which is that's tough to do. All right, that concludes the 1960s presidential election campaign and Kennedy assassination portion of the show. Take a break, come back, and I don't know, debunk some other conspiracy theories and myths. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This Saturday, our second annual Truth Family Fest from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Riverside High School. We're bringing our community together for a festival that's going to have something for everybody. There will be live music, delicious food, and we'll be giving away backpacks. Gotta love the backpacks. school supplies, and so much more. So we'll see you this Saturday at Riverside High School for the second annual Truth Family Fest from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Truth Family Fest is presented by Associated Bank. Your money works here. And sponsored by Milwaukee Public Schools, UW-Milwaukee, Gruber Law Offices, Erie Insurance, American Family Insurance, Outreach Community Health Centers, Greater Milwaukee Urban League, Ascension Wisconsin, and MATC. And probably Jesus Christ himself, probably sponsoring it. Everybody else is. All right, let's talk to, oh, look who's on line one. Look at this. This will be good. Hello, Rocco. How are you?
Hello, Sherwin. I just want to say, you know, I came home from school and I didn't see my father act like crying like who. He just, tears was coming down his eyes. And I asked him, what's wrong? He didn't say nothing. I looked at the TV and Kennedy had got shot. That was the first time and the only time I seen tears come down on my father's face. It just, and you brought it up, and I just, it just reminds me of that. That's all I got to say, sir. And I just want to comment on
you
that.
Sound like you still sad. That was a long time ago, Bob. That was November of 1963.
Yeah, the older we get, so many people pass away, you know.
And, tell me about it. But Bob, I got a feeling you and Miss Rose are going to outlive all of us.
Well, you know, I just be happy for every day, I guess, and just, you know, relish the little days I got left. I just want to say to my last point, since, you know, you seem to be in a pretty good mood today.
I'm much better.
I like to give you ice cream and cake.
Huh?
But when I did, I like to give you ice cream and cake.
I heard you, but for what?
But then when I disagree with you, you deserve a little castor oil in me. I mean, I got to give you a little castor oil.
Go to sleep, Bob. You need a nap. You take your medication this morning. Go take your medication and get you a nap. Go watch your stories on TV and go get you some rest.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. I'll give you some ice cream and cake. I don't want no damn ice cream or cake for you. All right, let's see what we got going on with the peanut gallery. Uh-huh. Oh, but they forgot January 6th. Storms. Oh, you know what? I think I cleared that up, Curly Q. It was Story Elementary School, the school that was rumored to not have any math teachers, that just had parents sitting at the desk in the classroom because they didn't have any teachers. What else we got worthy of speaking about? Does Alan only call when he is drunk or angry? I don't know. Alan is an unusual sort. You know, he's got a black wife. Y'all know that? And Alan said, and he's a Trumper, and he says his black wife is even more conservative than him. But all the times Alan has been calling me for, oh God, 10 years. I've never spoken to his wife. He won't put his wife on the phone. He always talks about, oh, Ty says this and Ty does that. And, oh, and Ty loves Trump. Why can't we talk to her? This is a black radio station with a bunch of black hosts and a bunch of black producers. You got a black wife. You won't let your black wife talk to the black host? Something is odd about that situation. But Alan, he posted something real foul on my, because I was supposed to talk to the White House press secretary this morning, Karine Jean-Pierre. She had something happen where we had to reschedule the interview. And so we posted something on our Truth page yesterday. And Alan was just, oh, she's a liar and blah, blah, blah. She lied about this. Shut up, Alan. Haven't we just figured that if you listen to this show in particular, but just 101.7 The Truth, and when we talk about politics, if you find yourself thinking that we're liars and we're making up stuff and we don't know what the hell we're talking about, instead of getting angry and trying to challenge us with nonsense, just admit maybe this show and this radio station isn't for you, which is perfectly okay. The reason why I don't listen to conservative talk radio is because I will hear the falsehoods, the lies, the misrepresentations, and the exaggeration. And I don't want to yell and scream in my radio or call in and be a belligerent caller and try and tell them, oh, you're lying. No, I just don't listen because it's not for me. It's for people that appreciate that information. I'm not one of the people that appreciates the information that's coming from Trump loving conservative talk radio. Instead of listening and getting mad, I just don't listen. That is okay. If some of you guys say, hey, the truth just isn't for me, I'll say this much. It's for a lot of people, though. It's for a lot of many millions of people. It just might not be for you. Barack Obama was doing a press conference. A little boy is 9 or 10 years old. I used to play the clip all the time. And the little boy is very confused. He's like, why do people hate you? Because I think the little boy who, you know, saw the first African-American president, that little boy was 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, was wondering why people could be so angry and say such terrible things about Barack Obama, where this little boy genuinely looked up to Barack Obama. So the little boy gets the microphone and says, why do people hate you? And Obama was like, oh no, no. I'll tell you what, a lot of people may not like me, but I got a bunch of votes. So you might be hated, but you're also very loved, too. I'll take a break, come back, talk to the caller on the other side. Wonder what he has to say. The current topic, hey? We'll see. I'm sure he'll change it up. You are listening to The Truth with me, Sherwin Hughes, you know, talk radio that's loved by millions and millions of people. They even listen to The Truth in Africa. We're very popular amongst the Ugandans and the Nigerians. There's a guy from Africa that comes to the Beyond the Mics. He's a very nice guy. He's got a very heavy accent. I got a story I should tell y'all, but I probably shouldn't. So there was this girl. And she's not dead. She's still alive. And you know, I was involved with the girl. So she gets an Uber to go home in the morning time. And the Uber driver had my show on. And that Uber driver is the African fella that attends all the Beyond the Mics. He said, sure, when I met your friend. I met her. And then she told me, she's like, oh, your show was on in the Uber that I took home. So small world. And clearly, that's all the evidence I need that we are loved on the entire continent of Africa because one African driving a Uber one day had my show on in his vehicle. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, our girl Melanie Ricks is back. Tune into the debut of Nothing But The Truth with Melanie Ricks' new digital show on YouTube. It's going to premiere on Wednesday, August 21st. That's 21st at 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, Melanie will break down the latest in entertainment, sports, pop culture, and all things Milwaukee. Make sure you do not miss the debut of Nothing But The Truth digital show hosted by Melanie Ricks, Wednesday, August 21st at 6 p.m. streaming on YouTube and only on YouTube. Chauncey says, give you ice cream and cake. That's so suspect, Bob. Bob done lost his damn mind. When has Bob ever had his mind? This man used to come up to a radio station and play the saxophone and give all the women money. It's not normal behavior for a senior citizen. All right, let's see. Oh, we got the caller. Let me read this real quick, then we'll get to the caller. Hang on a second. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign reached out to Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign to arrange a meeting about a possible role in her administration if he drops out of the race and endorses her, a Kennedy campaign official and a Democratic official just told CNN. The approach from Kennedy's team occurred last week and no meeting between the two candidates materialized, the Kennedy campaign official told CNN. Hell no. His endorsement means nothing. Let me tell you something about Robert Kennedy that some of y'all may not know. Whatever support he has, which has been cut in half, it was 15% since Kamala Harris entered the race. His support is now 7%. Do you know that the majority of the people that say they will vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. live in a state where dude is not on the ballot? He's not. He doesn't. Even with the states in which he is on the ballot, there's not enough electoral votes. If he won all of the states and where he's on the ballot, I think it's like 18 states. If he won all those 18 states, he'll win none of them, okay? But if he wins all 18, the most electoral votes he can get is 200. It is literally, logically, mathematically impossible for him to be president of the United States. He is only running just to be a spoiler. And now he knows that he can't win, so he's trying to get a position in the winning campaign, which is Kamala Harris. Because if he thought that Donald Trump was going to win, he would make a deal. Because Donald Trump would put him somewhere in the Trump administration, absolutely. But even Robert Kennedy knows that Trump is not going to get reelected. So he's trying to make a deal with Kamala Harris. He would serve no legitimate purpose anywhere in the federal government. He's an anti-vaxxer. He found a dead bear, put it in Central Park, and then found a bicycle and put the dead bear next to the bicycle because he wanted people that were in Central Park to think that the bear died in a bicycle accident. Like, he's not altogether there. And plus, he can't talk well. And I'm not making fun of the guy. In this Kamala Harris, I wanna be. Wait, hold on. I would be. Hold on. Kamala Harris, I wanna be in your administration. I wanna help me, Kamala. Let's talk to the caller. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Professor Hughes. With regard to, you know, the way that, you know, the topic gets changed when you and I, you know, dialogue, is just that two guys who think outside the box, you know, sometimes, you know, other topics happen to come up just from my response or yours. Would you agree?
Yes. That's setting me up for something.
Say it again? No, not a setup.
All right.
Because actually you changed the topic. I don't know what it was before that because I tuned out for a few hours to do something. But I heard you talking about Robert Kennedy, and it just made me think of, I heard one time a guy say that many times sons are bad snapshots of their dad, and him having the name Robert Kennedy is just so bizarre with his behavior, and it does not match. You understand where I'm going here? Does not match his behavior, the high level of intellect that his dad had, and even the political philosophy of his father. I think that name Kennedy would be something that Trump would try to utilize, you know, or may at some point, because he knows he's going to get blown out. And I guess that's where I can segue into that. I'm encouraging Truth Nation and the entire nation to make sure that Donald Trump gets blown out, because I just heard something recently where he has placed, I think, 70 election deniers in place to delay certification.
That's correct.
Which could be a big problem. And in the end, the Supreme Court, if it's delayed enough, would have an opportunity to help him steal the election. And that's why he's saying, going around in his rally saying he doesn't need votes. So anybody who thinks Kamala is so far ahead that they can stay at home like many people did yesterday, I think that'd be a bad idea. So, what was the topic prior to Robert Kennedy? Because I actually just tuned in. So that's why I said to the young man, who answered, current topic.
Probably NPS, the school board recall.
Fire them and let, well, do you have any suggestions? Like if you could just feel the school board, I mean, you don't have to name them. Could you think of a person to take the place of everybody who we fired?
Nope. I don't know anybody who would want that job because the district is in a lot of trouble, and all of the issues of the district would fall on the new board, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It would have to be someone who is like well versed. Nice, say it again.
They just gave themselves a nice raise, though, right?
The board, no. Some teachers got raised, but the board is, I think their salary is fixed, and it's not a lot, but it's way too much headache, and the performance is too low to want to be an elected official representing the district. So no, I don't know anybody that. But the people that are doing the recall, they don't have anybody to run in those seats either, which is embarrassing.
Yeah, I did listen long enough to hear you make that comment. So yeah, maybe that's something that, you know, over the next few days that we, you know, we can think about. Would it be maybe a teacher like Linda who's retired, or, you know, somebody who, you know, we at least we know they care and who can be trained to do the right thing and who we know will put in the effort. And as Denise Thomas says, do your homework so that we don't wind up missing millions of dollars in funding, you know.
Could be. I'm going to nominate you. Why don't you?
Might not be perfect, but improvement.
Why don't you run for the school board?
Oh, no.
Exactly. That's what everybody's answer is going to be. Nobody wants to do that.
Well, like I said, I think that there are some teachers who probably at least care enough to give a lot more effort. You know, like kind of like when the Bears usually don't have a quarterback, you know, sometimes they have somebody, see how I did that, somebody who will at least try really hard, and the Packers won't blow them out by 40, you know, they'll just beat them by 20. That kind of person, you know, somebody who cares and is going to try real hard until we can find someone who's qualified or maybe raise the salary so that the job can be done correctly for our kids.
All right, we'll just keep our options
just a
open.
Shot in the back.
All right, thank you for your
just
call.
Just a shot in the back. All right, brother.
Appreciate you. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could want to do the right thing, but it's a political position, and that's not to rehash Tuesday's election, but there are people that believe that they are very good as a policymaker. But if they don't understand the campaign part, it doesn't matter how good your policies are. You have to have both of those mastered. You could be the best policy person in the whole world. You know all the details, you read all the fine print. But if you don't have the apparatus and the strategy and the tactics to communicate that to your actual voters, then I would argue maybe you should just be a government bureaucrat. Maybe you work in an office where policy is what you do, your research policy, and you put together fiscal estimates. But actually being a candidate for public office is a whole nother ballgame. I do thank you so kindly for listening. Have a great day. Jamming with Juice is up next.